Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another broadcast of Something for the Fellas with your host, Curtis Taylor Sr. Something for the Fellas is an innovative, thought-provoking show geared toward the upliftment, encouragement, and renewal of the African-American male. However, all are welcome, regardless of race, creed, or gender. And now, get ready. Here's your host, Mr. Curtis Taylor Sr.
Welcome to tonight's broadcast of Something for the Fellas with myself, yours truly, Curtis Taylor Sr. as your host. And as I do before each and every broadcast, I just like to take the opportunity to thank God for another day and another opportunity to come before you with this format that I come before you guys with each and every Thursday. Also, as I always do before I start each and every broadcast, I like just to thank all of my loyal listeners and supporters of Something for the Fellas throughout the last 3 years. Whether it's been through the radio version or the TV show as well, I just want to let you guys know that I deeply appreciate the loyal support that you guys have given me in all of my endeavors throughout these last 3 years, and I appreciate you guys, and I just want you to know that I humbled up to know and exist and admit that without you, there would be no Something for the Fellas. So I just want to let you guys know that it's with heartfelt gratitude that I deeply appreciate all of you. Real quick, another admin note is that I just want to give a shout-out to Ms. Adra Robbins of Detroit, Michigan. She allowed me the pleasure of having an opportunity to appear on her broadcast out of Detroit, Michigan earlier today, the Cooks and Books show with Adra Robbins Young. Again, she's on Urban Nation Radio, and I just want to thank her and give her a shout-out. I appreciate it. I counted it as an honor and a privilege to be on your broadcast. Real quick, one more admin note before we get into the show is that I had a couple of people coming, was asking me, you know, about the chat room aspect. Let me explain something real quick about the chat room. The chat room is up and running, but the way you participate via the chat room is going to just ask you for a name and an email address. Now, with that being said, it's not going to get your information or your email and solicit it to any third parties or telemarketers or anything of that nature. It's just Blog Talk Radio's way of keeping up the numbers for me, and I'm able to see for myself of how I have interaction, whether live on air or whether it be live streaming on the website, which you would go to either curtistaylorsenior.webs.com, or you can go to the main Blog Talk Radio site, and in the search bar you would just type in the title of the show, Something for the Fellas. So for those of you that want to participate via the chat room, I just wanted to ease those concerns, if there were any, that none of your information is going to be given out to any third parties, telemarketers, or anything, so you won't be getting all this spam email and things of that nature. So, and another to go along with that, should you decide to participate in the chat room, by you putting your name and email, it will allow you to type in a comment. I will see it in the comments bar because, like I said, I'll be moderating back and forth from the studio to the chat room. And whether it's addressing myself or my guest or whatever the case may be, I will read it aloud on the air. I will say your name. What I ask is that you just type your name and the city where you're calling or typing from. And I'll say, for example, Stephen S. from Cincinnati, Ohio, says this, blah, 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 and read it and we'll address it. So those are the quick admin notes I got. Now, I ask everyone to please excuse my voice. I'm still getting over this little cold that I was inflicted with. So please excuse me on that. This weather, I'm located in Decatur, Alabama, and yesterday it got up to 72 degrees. I got off of my regular 9-to-5 job around 4 o'clock, and between 4 and, I'd say, 4:30, 4:45, the temperature dropped a good 25 degrees. So this weather is just crazy. And then overnight we had a major winter storm. We woke up with all the roads were frozen, iced over, and things of that nature. And it's not a common thing that happens in this area. So we're dealing with that, but we're going to go ahead and press our way through. Okay, getting to tonight's broadcast. Tonight is part two of our last Thursday night's broadcast, which was Reclaiming Our Youth, The Fight Is On. Now, I had the honor and the privilege to bring this broadcast last week, and a great friend of mine by the name of Mr. LaVon Thomas, and I'm going to allow him, he's already on the air with me in just a minute, I'm going to allow him to introduce himself and tell you, give you a little brief story about him. But just on a personal note, when I saw his phone number pop up, I know his number by heart because we've been friends now for more like brothers for 21 years now. We met each other in 1993 while we were both stationed at Fort Riley, Kansas, while we were both still serving active duty in the United States Army. And, 21 years has passed, and we've been able to maintain our friendship, our brotherhood, and we stayed in constant contact with one another. We had a little brief lull there where we lost contact for a couple of years, but the good Lord saw fit for us to enter each other's lives again, and we've maintained constant contact since. Man, I can go on forever telling you some of our hilarious stories that we had throughout our military career over these past 21 years, but that would be a whole nother broadcast right there. So without further ado, and let me say this. Speaking of that, and after the last week broadcast, you guys won't believe the amount of inbox messages I got, the amount of text messages, the amount of emails and things of that nature that the listeners, you guys that supported, whether it's the ones that came in through the chat room or the other live callers that we had, the amount of feedback that I got from last week's broadcast was so overwhelming, I had to do a part two. Plus the fact that we weren't able to get everything that we wanted to get in last week's broadcast because I only had it set up for an hour. But what I did tonight, expecting the type of broadcast that I am expecting, tonight we're going to go for an hour and a half. That's right. We're going to go for an hour and 30 minutes. So with that being said, I already see one caller that dropped. People, listen, if you call and if you don't want to be on the air, what I'll do is I can when I take a commercial, I'll come to you and I'll find out if you definitely want to be on the air or whatever the case may be. But this is the way it's going to work. And I'm going to let Von Thomas, my great friend and brother, introduce himself and tell us a little bit about himself in just a second. But for all my live callers, this is the way it works, because although I support and appreciate everyone that tunes in and supports Something for the Fellas, I do understand that this is still real life, and I never know who I have listening to the show or whatever the case may be. So for your own individual safeties, what I do is that I give the area code of where you're calling from and the last four numbers, and then you could come on the air, and the only thing I ask you to do is just give us your name, introduce yourself by giving us your name and where you're calling from, and we can go ahead and address if you have a comment, question, or concern for either myself or my featured guest. So with that being said, I'm super excited about tonight's broadcast. Again, excuse my voice if I get the coughing or go in and out. I'll try to mute myself. But without further ado, I will present to some and reintroduce to others none other than my good friend, my brother, Mr. LaVon Thomas.
Good evening, everyone. How you doing there, Curtis?
Oh, man. Von, it's great to hear you. I'm a little cold, mess, but hey, we're gonna press on through this thing.
I hear that. So my name is LaVon Thomas. I am a Presidential Management Fellow. I work here in D.C. with the Department of Housing and Urban Development. I have a bachelor's in finance and an MBA from Benedictine. My bachelor's is from Chicago State University. As Curtis mentioned earlier, he and I are veterans and served together, had the pleasure of serving together in the Army at Fort Riley, Kansas. One of my passions is working with the youth. I was a wayward individual, to say the least, and now I seek to rebuild those communities and every other community I come in contact with to rebuild those. And, you know, I can't say I want to empower the youth, because the youth is the power isn't mine to give. What I like to do is let them know that they have more power than they believe, and that's my mission. Thank you.
Outstanding. Yeah. You know, again, Vaughn, I'm very, very proud and elated and grateful to have you as my featured guest tonight. And as you mentioned in your introduction, how you were a wayward youth coming up, and I can definitely relate. Even in our earlier adult years, you know, you and I can tell some stories of the things that you and I did and encountered together. And but anyway, we're not going to get into that because, as I said earlier, that would be a whole other broadcast. But due to the fact that one of the another main reason I wanted you to be my featured guest, because not only the feedback that I got from last week's broadcast, but a lot of the feedback was how well you and I bounced off of one another, because first and foremost, we know each other. You know, a lot of times I have guests that I've only had the opportunity to meet briefly either before the broadcast or maybe once or twice in passing before a broadcast and things of that nature. But to say that I actually know someone and have a 21-year history with, and that we're able to just correlate with one another and bounce off of each other during the course of a broadcast makes it even easier for myself. But we're going to get into the – and wow, already the lines are blowing up on me. We're going to get into this, bro. I'm going to take one real quick commercial break, and it'll probably be one of the few commercial breaks that I take. Just give my voice a second to get back right just a little bit. And, again, everyone that's listening, please forgive me. I'm just battling this little cold, but, again, the show must go on. So I'm going to take one more real quick commercial break, and we'll be back and dive into tonight's broadcast. Again, thank you, everyone, for tuning in right now, for the callers that's calling in live, for everyone that's going to be participating via the chat room, and those of you that's going to listen to it by live streaming at your earliest convenience. We'll be right back.
Welcome to another broadcast of Something for the Fellas with your host, Curtis Taylor Sr. Something for the Fellas is an innovative, thought-provoking show geared toward the upliftment, encouragement, and renewal of the African-American male. However, all are welcome, regardless of race, creed, or gender. And now, get ready. Here's your host, Mr. Curtis Taylor Sr.
And we're back. Again, like I said, we're just going to take one more real quick commercial break. And that will probably be one of the few breaks that we take. And I already see people are coming into the chat room. I'm going back and forth. I'll be getting to you guys momentarily. And I already got live callers that are flooding in on the air to get in live. So what I'm going to do, Vaughn, if you don't mind, is that before we really get into the meat of tonight's broadcast, I will allow my callers, as they come in, I will allow them opportunity to introduce themselves and say their name and where they're calling from, and then at a portion of the show, I give them opportunity to make their comments or address anything that we bring up during the broadcast. So with that being said, my first...
Great. One thing I want to say, because I kind of made it kind of vague when I said a wayward individual, just so people could know, if you're sitting at home, you can go to my website, Lavon Thomas, that's LAVONTHOMAS. .com, LavonThomas.com. And so I just want to put some legs around that wayward individual. At one point in my life, I faced 25 to life, to include 5 felony charges. That was the second time I had been arrested that year. The first time was aggravated assault and a misunderstanding with some police officers there. And so I just wanted to put some legs around that wayward individual, and anyone who's sitting at home can just take a gander at that website, so you can kind of see who you're talking with and who you're talking to and with, and take a quick look at the bio. Thanks.
Not a problem. Appreciate that disclaimer real quick there, Vaughn. What I'm going to do, caller, I'm going to say your area code and the last 4 of your phone number. If you would, just introduce yourself by giving us your name and where you're calling from. So with that being said, caller calling from area code 334, and the last 4 of your phone number is 5143. If you would, introduce yourself and tell us where you're calling from.
Good evening. How's everyone?
Good evening. How are you?
Hello.
Yes, we got you.
My name is Joseph King, and I am calling from Montgomery, Alabama, and I am the founder and president of Urban Youth Enrichment Initiative, which is a startup community organization right now. And it's geared toward addressing those issues that we're talking about, that the brother was talking about in his introduction. And as well, myself, I'm a product of the streets, you know, but I believe that we can restore hope in the community through us, you know, those of us that have transformed our lives. And I thank you for inviting me, brother.
Outstanding. Well, sir, we're glad to have you. First and foremost, we appreciate you supporting Something for the Fellas as well as tonight's broadcast. And as I said, we're going to, because I'm definitely going to be getting back with you as the broadcast goes on forward. But like I said, I had a feeling this tonight's broadcast was going to go this way. We got it. Like I said, the on-air lines are blowing up. So with that being said, my next caller that I'm about to bring live on the air, if you would, same process, caller. I'm going to say your area code and the last four digits of your phone number. If you would introduce yourself briefly and give us where you're calling from. With that being said, caller calling from 256 area code. The last four of your number is 6454. If you would introduce yourself and tell us where you're calling from.
Yes, my name is Tyrone Taylor, and I'm calling from out Decatur.
Hello. We got you, Tyrone. We appreciate you joining in tonight. For those of you who just, Mr. Tyrone Taylor is actually, he owns his own business. He's a barber here in Decatur, Alabama. He's actually my barber as well as my son, Lil Kurt's barber. And I had the pleasure and opportunity of having Mr. Taylor on the premiere broadcast of the second season of Something for the Fellas. And I'll just go ahead and let everybody know, Mr. Taylor is a valued member of the community and the city of Decatur, Alabama as a whole. This brother is very insightful. He's a very commandeering stating individual. He has the type of business that allows everyone, especially our youth, and he looks out for the youth in our community. I am a witness and a testament to that. So with that being said, Tom, we are glad you're here. We appreciate you tuning in. But as we back to my featured guest, Mr. LaVon Thomas. Sir, as you and I talked on last Friday night, I believe, when we had an opportunity to talk, and I was telling you about the amount of feedback that I got, you know, that everyone that tuned in and was able to be a part of last week's broadcast, and I said to myself, well, we both came to a mutual decision that we would do a part two tonight to that broadcast, and this is something that we all really, as men, and I'm going to go ahead and say it as black men, we really need to be aware and abreast of the situation as far as attempting to reclaim in our youth, and we all need to be willing to set aside any personal agendas that we may or may not have and come together to form a cohesive, collective unit in order to make this happen. So with that being said, Vaughn, we got a couple of questions lined up for you, my friend. And before I say that, it's another little note that I want to say that what we definitely need to do is make our youth a priority and not an afterthought.
Yes. You're right.
So with that being said, Vaughn, I want to pose this question to you. In what ways, in your opinion, could we open the minds of our youth to their possibilities and help them see their potential?
The question, let me make sure I understand the question, is how can we open their minds and let them see their full potential?
Yes. What are some ways in your mind ways that we could do that?
I think the first thing we have to do is teach them to become a product of their expectations and not their environment. And that's key in when we go back to the images. What entertains you, train you. And I said that last week, and I'll continue to yell that. What entertains you, train you. So when they're surrounded with images, be it television, radio, internet, of young black men that look like them and women that look like them, and what they're doing. When you're a youth and you're putting yourself together and you're trying to come to who you are or create who you are, and you're surrounded by that, that's what you're going to be. So what entertains you, trains you. So the first thing we have to do is, again, control those images. The other thing we have to do is start at home. We have to have a set of standards that we hold our children to. We have to have a set of standards and values that says, listen, you're a tailor. This is what we do. And you set that for your household. We're not going to do this. We're not going to do, you know, we have to set that. And so when we do that and we teach them to become a product of their expectation and not their environment, we hold them to a standard and challenge their thought processes, they will rise to the occasion. They have to know that you care before they care about what you know. I think that's our first step.
Okay,
and that may sound like a large lift, but it's a rather simple lift, and that is, as you mentioned before, making them a priority.
If I can speak on that, you're absolutely right. But I think in today's society, our kids, I think a big part of that, the reason why they've been getting off on the wrong path, because our kids is having kids. So that training that we had growing up, values, a lot of that is not in the household. Because I think someone said something dealing with what they're watching, what they're entertaining. You know what I'm saying? You know, the internet is so, the internet could be good, but also the internet could be so bad for you, you know, with so much corruption that's coming from the internet. I'm not saying the internet is all bad, but a lot of things that come from it is not good either. And our kids, the youth, they're focusing on. They're focusing on what's the new fad. And I think the older generation, see, we got to step up. Even though, like you said, it starts at home and it do start at home. But some people, our youth don't have a home for those type of values. So as and who we are, who's trying to make a difference, we got to fill that void that they're lacking. We got to step up. We got to hold our own self accountable for helping those.
Outstanding. Those are some great insight on that, Tyrone. Mr. King, did you want to expound on that just a little bit?
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. I agree with everything that both brothers have said. You know, and it's our approach. Well, my approach that I'm taking with Urban Youth Enrichment Initiative is that everything lies within education. You know, one of my friends, my Facebook friend, we come to know each other, Dr. Donna Ford, she said one of the things that the black community is missing, particularly among young black males, is the image of black scholarship. So we need to try, we need to exalt, create and exalt an image of black scholarship and higher education right along with the images that's being projected in the media, mainstream right now. The brother had mentioned about our youth and our children being impacted by what they watch. I thought about the study I watched, I read the other day, dealing with just that specific question, because I wanted to know. You know, we spend more time black people in general. You know, we watch sports and entertainment. That's it. You know, and when it comes down to when we're looking at black males, you know, we watch sports and entertainment. We're not reading. So we got to get out. I think that if we can get our children to look at higher education, look at learning as, you know, it's cool, it's okay. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, coming from the street, at one time I didn't feel like I needed an education. You know, education, if it didn't make dollars, it didn't make sense.
Yeah, I
agree. I think education, value in education is key. Was that Brother Jason?
Brother Joseph.
Okay. So, yeah, I agree. Value in education is key. and what we have to do to get them to value education. Because, I mean, let's be honest, we have those opportunities at our fingertips. We have, these kids have more opportunity and options than we ever had. But we can't get them to value that because it's, we have to change the culture. We're looking at a culture shift. We need to shift the culture. And we can't shift the culture until we change the things that influence the culture. So when we talk about entertainment, and let's talk about the hip-hop culture. All right, let's talk about all the hip-hop has done. It has been a blessing and it has been a curse all in the same breath. You know, when you look at the day, back in the days of hip-hop, you know, we had, it was about dropping science. It was about having knowledge. You know, you had a book bag with you. It was about how smart you were. And so when that shifted, right, well, let me say this. At the same time, we had a TV show called A Different World. It was about black kids going to college. We had a movie by Spike Lee, School Days, about kids in college. Even a second house party was about him having, you know, going to school. So it made going to school fun. And it made me, I know, want to say one day I hope to get there, and that was a goal because it made it look fun. And those are the images that we took in. When we shifted that and we went from ladies first to women ain't nothing but hoes and tricks, up in science and knowledge, to I'm going to get mine, then that culture changes. If we want to, if we want them to value education, we have to change that culture. But first, we have to change the things that influence that culture. And that way, we're, you know, and the way we do that is we got to get these kids to turn these TVs off. We got to get these kids, you know, as parents, and I agree to the young man that said, you know, for those without the father, we have to step up. I totally agree. We have to work and use our economic value, our economic power of nearly $1.1 trillion to say, listen, if you don't give us, if you don't respect us, you don't get our dollars. That's how we start to change this thing around.
That's right.
And if I can, just to piggyback off a little bit of what you said, Vaughn, and what you said, Joe, and what Brother Tyrone said, you know, y'all touched on the key that it all starts at the house. Now, what has happened in this present day and time, and a lot of us are guilty of it. I can point the fingers at a lot of the stuff myself that over the years I've let slide or I've let get by or whatever the case, and I had to have that inward conversation with Curtis. Hold on now, Curtis. Now, you know, that would not have been acceptable when you were coming up, so why should you allow it to be acceptable dealing with your kids? I can talk about me and mine. But a lot of times these children have taken the power. They've taken this control. And even though it's a sad fact of reality to admit it, that is the case. We're going to call a spade a spade. That's why I love this format, because we can just come out and we can just be 100% real with this thing. Now, what we as parents, especially men, we have to take this control back. And to correlate with what Vaughn said and Joe and Brother Tyrone is, we have the God-given right and authority as the head of our households to censor what our kids, as long as they're under our roof, that we have right and ability to censor what they're taking in, whether it's we all have the, with this new technology, with these cable television companies, we have the ability to block channels or censor the channels. We need to know all the passwords of our kids' cell phones. We need to know the passwords to their social media sites, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, Kick, Snapchat, whatever the case may be. Any of these social media outlets or electronic outlets and devices that we allow our children to have, until these children are, because as a matter of fact, I posed this question when I did a symposium a couple of weeks ago in Selma. I posed the question, how many children in that room had their cell phones? And at least I would say 98% of them kids raised their hand. And these were children from the ages of 10 all the way up to 18. At least almost every last one of them kids said, yes, they owned a cell phone. And I'm y'all going to see the point where I'm going with this here in a second. And when I asked that question, I let all of them put their hands down. And then I posed the very next question. I said, well, how many of these cell phones are in your name where you are responsible for paying your own cell phone bill? Maybe one hand went up, and this was from a high school senior on his cell phone. Now, the point I'm trying to make with that is, by us allowing these kids to have these electronic devices, i.e. cell phones, tablets, whatever, laptops, whatever the case may be. And if we're paying the cell phone bills or laptop bills or whatever the bills are, then we should exert our authority to monitor what they're doing on these cell phones and laptops and internets and cable TV and whatever the case may be. What would you say to that, Vaughn?
I agree in the fact that it's us as head of the household. And let me start this off by saying this, because we're talking about the kids, and we can't talk about kids without talking about the adults, because they're only saying what they hear and doing what they see. And so
exactly.
we have to choose our words wisely, because if this generation has failed, it's us that failed to raise them properly. When we talk about taking control and being head of the house, we as men have to understand that the means by which we measure a man now, the means by which we measure a man is totally off. So when we talk about that piece, you know, that, as you mentioned earlier, that's like a whole nother subject in and of itself. But when you talk about, this is like, I have my kids, you know, my daughter, she's 13. I broke down and got the cell phone for her. And this is what I mean. They're the technological era right now. And the reason why I broke down and got her the phone when she was 12 is because of I don't want her behind. Not behind socially, behind technically. So, but it's also monitored, as you mentioned, the passwords. What sites are you going on? You know, there is no iPod or iPad without me putting the music on. And you're 12. There's no way you're going to be listening to adult contemporary. I don't find anything cute. And it's just for Thomas. It's just for those in my house. I don't find anything cute with a 12-year-old girl knowing all the lyrics to a Beyonce song who sing adult songs. It doesn't make sense to me at all. But that's just to me, though. So there has to be some monitoring and some teaching. The problem with that is a lot of us weren't taught. Let's just be honest. We learned in the streets. So, you know, this conversation is twofold as far as us as fathers learning how to do that in a manner in which, as you mentioned earlier, when you're having that conversation with yourself saying, well, this never would have happened in my day, I agree, but we aren't in that day anymore. We're in a whole new day. And we can't raise them like we were raised, because they're faced with different challenges. They're faced with different situations, and their world as adults will look totally different than ours. And so we have to take that into consideration. So there will be some tweaks in that management, I believe, in raising kids these days. Did that make sense?
Yeah, that makes a whole lot of sense what you're saying. And, you know, I thank God for strong-minded black men as well as our black women who take their role as an adult that's doing the right thing by their kids. I thank God for me having my own business, because I get a chance to interact with a lot of youngsters. And a lot of youngsters are always telling me when I talk to them, well, Ty, people don't care about us youngsters. You know, we do our thing. Y'all grown people do y'all thing. And I think where it comes from, we are starting something as men. But we won't do the long haul of it, you know, because I've been guilty of starting something, and after a while, I stopped. As black men, that we want our black kids to raise up to be great and successful in things that they choose to be, this got to be an everyday process for us to help them. No, not only our own children, but other children, you know what I'm saying, other people's kids that we come in contact with. Because I'm telling you, right now, our youth is declining in education, being respectful, and all of that. And like you said, someone said it, it's because of us adults. They see us, they watch us, and they do what we do. And somewhere it got to stop. I mean, you know, it got to stop. Because if we don't, this cycle that's going around with our youth in and out of prison is going to continue on doing that.
You know, Tyrone, you know, you said something interesting when you said that the kids told you that no one pays attention to them. And I'd have to go back to the words of that great Negro theologian Tupac when he said that unless we shoot, no one notices the youth. It's just me against the world. And so that's the first thing that came to mind when you said that, because, you know, he wrote that from that same place that we're not paying them any attention. And in some cases, we aren't. Listen, we just came out of Black History Month. And let me tell you why I hate it. Well, first, let me tell you I hate it. And let me tell you why I hate it. Whenever you see the images in Black History Month, is there some old dude, crusty person on some picture that these kids can't relate to? You see Harriet Tubman in her 80s. You see Dr. King in his 40s. You see George. You see all these people, and they're old. Now, here's the problem. First off, stop telling these kids to be somebody. They already somebody. Tell them to do something what they like. That's first. Let me get that out.
Right.
The other part to that is, listen, every great revolution came by the hands of someone young. Now, I could take you back to the biblical days and ask you how old was Daniel when he was put in the lion's den. Let's talk about the teenage boys that was put in the fiery furnace. Let's talk about the teenagers, the kids that were listening in Judges. They were kids at the time. Now, let's bring it on back. Let's talk about how young Harriet Ashley was when she started. Let's talk about every great revolution. Dr. King was, what, 25 when he started the movement?
Right.
So, you know, let's stop teaching these kids that you have to be some old person before you start doing something. When you look at it, every great movement starts with the youth. They were young people. It's just at that time they didn't have a, you know, way of capturing them and all that, the technology, but they were young. So, number one, stop telling these kids to be somebody. They already somebody. Just tell them to do something what they like. But teaching them, you don't have to wait till you 30 or 40 to do things. So, yeah, sometimes we do overlook the youth. The other problem we have is we pay a lot of attention to the riffraff and not enough attention to those that's doing good. Let's talk about Urban Prep in Chicago, and let's look at their graduation rate and the number of youth that goes on to college. Well, we spend so much time on Ray Ray and Razorblade and Mookie that, you know, we need to support those kids as well. So there is some truth to the fact that, you know, unless we're shooting, no one notices the youth. It's just me against the world. How do we give them, how do we service them in a way that they need? It goes back to not empowering them, because the power is already there, but encouraging them to use the power that they already have, especially when we talk about pain management. To me, that's at the key of a lot of issues in our Black community, pain management. That's why the fathers aren't in the home. They don't know how to manage the pain and disappointment that they had of not having a father.
Yeah.
That's why there's a dude with four or five different baby mamas and girls with four or five different baby daddies. Let's talk about the pain. And let's talk about, you know, our churches, which were supposed to actually deal with the pain, but some of them got too much in dealing with the prophets.
Yeah. So,
you know, we got to deal with, we have to teach pain and disappointment management, folks. There's no dodging the pain. If you're going to live, you're going to have it. So you are right, Tyrone. If they're not shooting, we're not noticing them. So how do we change that?
You know, you just said something about dealing with the churches. The church is supposed to play a key in our youth. And you it's not dealing with the pain. The church is not dealing with the pain and with gain. And that means gaining for their own self. You know, like I said, a lot of this stuff is just, you know, I think a lot of people just don't care, you know. And then the ones who do care, like, I thank God for Curtis, for starting this, for opening up doors so we can speak like this to get the word out. Because we need more we need more black men to come together to think of a plan for these kids, but execute it. Let's not just talk about it. We need to be about it, you know, because I know there's a church out there that's willing to help. Just got to find that church that's willing to help. And we got to let it be known that, hey, we there. We there for the long haul. We ain't there for the short haul. It ain't for no money. We doing it out of the love for our kids, generations yet to come. You know, I mean, that's the reason why I thank God for this shop. Because every day I'm trying to pour into these youth. Because this is our, this is literally our future. The next youth that we're talking to might be the next president. You know what I'm saying? Guide him to the right place that he need to be at. Because right now, a lot of people that guide our youth, they guide them for personal gain, and that's it.
Let me say this before I get tons of emails from pastors and ministers. I'm not saying all churches are on that prophet. I don't want to come off that way, and I apologize if it did. But as a whole, let me tell you, in the city of Chicago, per capita probably I don't know the numbers, more churches than any place else. So when you have 5 to 10 churches in your community, and your community still have 15 murders or 50 shootings in a weekend, I'm sorry, but the name is on the door, but the power is not within. The proof is in the pudding. And so when I speak on that, that's the place where I speak from. No, not all churches are like that. There are some churches who go out to the community. However, I have gone to churches and knocked on doors and asked about starting a street ministry or joining into a street ministry and have been looked at like I was crazy. Let me do that disclaimer. Not all, but we'd be fooling ourselves if we didn't identify that issue with this topic. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Curtis.
Oh, no problem. You guys are bringing up some very, very valid points, and I'm glad that you're able to do some. But it was one word that stuck out in my mind, and it was one word that both you used, Vaughn, as well as Brother Tyrone used. And that word y'all used, and y'all used it both, was educate. That word right there, educate, is real key to me, because in my humble opinion, what I feel like we need to do is, as far as the education arena will go, is we need to try at least attempt to expand the minds of our youth. And when I say expand the minds of our youth, we need to introduce them to different things that they're not accustomed to, because, as we know, growing up in the black generation, they're as Vaughn alluded to earlier, they know Beyonce, and they know every Jay-Z lyric or Young Gotti or Lil Wayne or whoever else that's hot and popular right now. But one way that I think it could really make a difference, if you know, we try to expand the minds, let's introduce them to simple stuff like to play an instrument or express themselves through speech, drama, dance, or even to appreciate art. Because I see a lot of these young kids, they can, and we got a lot of them that come in Ty's barbershop. They can sit down and look at that barbershop, look at everybody while Ty and his other three barbers are cutting heads, and everybody else that's sitting in there, and can draw that picture exactly as it looks as they're sitting there. I've seen too many of their portraits. So these kids, they are having these talents, but a lot of the times they are afraid to express these talents because they don't want to be considered different, so to speak. I really feel that we need to definitely expand these children's minds to let them know that it's more out there than the latest hip hop album, or for the young lady to know that there's more out there than the latest Beyonce song or whatever the case may be. Now, one question that I had for Joseph that I found real interesting for the program that he does, and if correct me if I'm wrong, Joseph, you do your program in Georgia, Alabama, correct?
Yeah, you kind of breaking up, brother. Did you say Montgomery?
Right. You did your program
in
Montgomery, right? Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I can.
Now, my question was, what are some of the things that you've been able to implement as far as your group goes there in Montgomery?
Okay, let me say, as I mentioned in what I mentioned, Urban Youth Enrichment Initiative earlier, we're in the startup development phase, you know, and I just incorporated Urban Youth Enrichment Initiative here in Montgomery, in the state of Alabama. I mean, okay, so now what I'm working on right now is I'm developing my program model. I'm doing my research and seeking out evidence-based models that can adapt to this particular demographic that we in, you know. And I'm drawing up on my own, you know, as well, because I'm coming. I go back to, well, let me say this. My organization is my attempt to redeem myself. You know, because at one point in time in my life, I inflicted a lot of hell in the community. You know, I was the damn, you know, excuse my language, but I was the devil. You know what I mean? So, but there was a point in time in my life when I really experienced the presence of the Creator, you know, who goes by many names. And my life was transformed at that time. And so what we're doing is focusing on the strengths, okay? The brother mentioned the home, okay? I have a sister, she's the principal. Her name is Dr. Toby Scruggs. She's helping me develop a parenting, how to become a parent champion, which is a model that she created. She's going to help me put that model into our program. And what we're going to be doing is teaching parents how to transform their homes into healthy learning environments. You know?
Yeah.
Because, and again, you know, and then dealing with reentry. I'm dealing with reentry. I got a plan for that. Everything that you brothers spoke about here, brother, I'd like to sit down with you and show you the plan. You know, right now it's just about getting the finances, the back, and we're moving towards getting the 1023 right now filed. You know, and it's just getting the organizations together in my mind. Okay, we talk about, you know, the community not coming out when we host these events. I've been to several here in the city of Montgomery. You know, where organizations are trying to reach out and ask the community, you know, to come out, but they won't come out. You know, so I'm like, all right, maybe let's take another approach. So I'm part of a grassroots leadership development program right now through Alabama Organizing Project, and my sponsor is Focal. So, okay, for me to graduate, I got to create and host an event in the community. So what my community event is, I want to call leadership from the various organizations in the community. You know, let's come out, all right, and bring your plan that you're implementing in your side of town. Let me say this, man. I don't believe in, like, just focusing on, because I live on the west side, I'm just going to focus on the west side. Because we all in this together, you know, and we got to figure out a way how we can bring the best of what all of us have to the table and synergize it and move forward. You know, so like what you're doing in Dothan, what the brother doing maybe in Birmingham or whatever, and what I'm doing in Montgomery, everything is working together. We pushing one agenda, and that's empowerment. That's empowerment. With ex-offenders, we know that as soon as you get, you know, that felony behind your name, you virtually locked out of society for the rest of your life. You may only do 2 years in prison, but you're given a life sentence. See? Your economic potential, according to society, no. A brother told me last week, he said, people not going to throw their money at people that they deem to be derelicts of society. And that's how they view our young males. The brother said that the young brothers don't have a sense of relevance. That's true, because I talk to him every day in my community, right here in my community. And I told one young brother, I said, you know what? I said, this is what I'm going to do. I said, I'm going to put up $100. We're going to start. He said, well, we with you. OG, we with you. We with you. I said, okay, well, if you with me, we're going to start right here where we live at in our community. This is what we're going to do. I'm going to put up $100 prize. I said, we're going to have a freestyle, and you can. I want the best positive, uplifting freestyle that you can bring to the table. You know, this ain't no, you know. He said, all right, just let me know. So that's what I'm in the process of doing now. And it's basically an icebreaker to communicate with him, you know, break the ice. And, you know, we just got to keep it real as men, man. We got to keep it real as men. You know, we have the resources. We have the knowledge, but we lack the real. So what is it about the real to bring it together that's keeping us from bringing it together? That's what we got to address within ourselves. Because if we can't unify among ourselves, then we can't expect for the youth to unify. Because they're looking at our walk more so than what we're saying.
Exactly.
You know?
You know, first and foremost, I just want to commend you. You know, I definitely want to commend you, and just for you having that vision, and to me it seems to be a clear vision on top of that. And just, I mean, because I'm with you, brother. I mean, we, like the old folks say, we all have a remember when and a back then.
Right, right.
So, you know, and I mean, I have, you know how they have the analogy, skeletons in my closet. I mean, at one point in time in my life, I had cemeteries in my closet, so I can definitely relate. And throughout every test that's come our way that we were able to overcome leads to our own personal testimonies. So with that being said, even though you have not completely or even had the opportunity to go forth with actually implementing things, and I'm sure the other two gentlemen, Mr. Vaughn and Brother Tyrone, that's on the air with me, will agree with what I say. I definitely feel that just hearing the sincerity in your voice, that you're definitely on the right track. And I would definitely stay in touch with you. And if there's ever, I would like to just go on record right now, if I can ever offer my services to you in any capacity, you know, like I said, we'll definitely stay in contact with one another and,
yeah,
exchange phone numbers and things of that nature, because I mean, Montgomery's just a couple hours. Montgomery's only a couple hours away from me, so we'll definitely be on the lookout for that. And you know, I'm gonna just go ahead and let you know now. I'm going to hit and challenge you right now. I'm going to expect great things from you and the program that you're implementing. So I'm going to hit and challenge that to you right now. And as I said, and I'm sure, like I said, the other two guys on the air will agree with me that. I mean, I can see it. I can see great things coming, because something that was so key that you said, a lot of times we got to meet these kids at their level. We got to meet these youth where they are. And if they will be able to see and recognize, to just to keep it real and keep it 100 on this show, on this broadcast, they can smell BS a mile away.
Yes, sir.
So, they will know. They will know if you come into them half-cocked, or if you come into them and they'll know if you just got a certain particular agenda or whatever the case may be that you trying to accomplish. And this analogy, I use it so much, but it's so present and it's so real that we can all pretend to care, but we cannot pretend to show up. As Vaughn mentioned earlier, as Tyrone said, these kids are watching. And by no means are they dumb by a long shot. Even though they may not display their levels of intelligence at a given time or in which we need to encourage them to do so, although they may choose not to display it all at one time, they definitely have it. You best believe, bet your bottom dollar that they have it and it is with them. And as we all alluded to, they are definitely watching. They don't want a whole lot of lip service. Like an old person once told me a long time ago, a lot of talking don't do nothing but make the air stink.
Uh-huh.
So go ahead.
But yeah, I didn't mean, brother. Hey, you said some powerful things. I'm feeling you. You know what I mean? I'm feeling you on that level. Because just before I called you, got on the call tonight, I was talking to a brother in Detroit. All right, his name is Yusef Shakur, Bachi Shakur. All right, he the son. I did time with his father. Now his father is a real. I'm talking about his father is a soldier, and I'm talking about for the people. Even though he's doing for the rest of his life, he's behind bars. But every day, you know what I'm saying, he's educating these young brothers. I'm talking about trying to awaken them to a better way of thinking. You know, so I commend that. But he said, "Look, man," he said, "whatever you want to do," he said, "I'm willing to collaborate with you." He even wrote his books, you know, and everything. So I mean, they're willing to come down too. So I'm saying let's get these brothers that's been through there, along with brothers that haven't even been into the prison system, you know, but black men and black businesses that are willing to say, look here, we're going to provide the jobs for these young brothers. We understand that the system is locking them up. You see? One of my goals is to create a foundation where if a young brother, you know what I'm saying, he's been locked up, it might be an older brother, but he got a viable business plan that can withstand the stress test, you know, then that foundation would fund that business plan with a string attached that's saying, look, the only condition is that you hire ex-offenders coming back into the community. We're accomplishing two things. We're leaving the burden.
Right.
I
definitely agree with that, and that's something. Definitely something that we're gonna keep abreast of that right there, and we're definitely gonna monitor it. And as I said, man, that vision right there, and I can just, like I said, I can just feel the sincerity in your voice, and man, whatever I can do to back you, you have my full support 100%. And like I said, Montgomery's only a couple of hours away from me, so, and I'm here in Decatur, Alabama, so we definitely going to be staying in contact with that right there. But getting back to the broadcast, and those are definitely some powerful ways that, and you know, it's all about the broadcast, which is reclaiming our youth, and those were ways that you alluded to that can help our youth that have been incarcerated or have already went down that wrong path, that, you know, they were not able to be intercepted before they got into that. So it's a way to reclaim all the youth involved, whether they've already been affected by the justice system, or those that we're able to reach to prevent them from having to go through any type of judicial processes. And that was another thing that I was going to, because, you know, by me knowing Vaughn's background, and he was working in, living in D.C., you know, because amazing. We have to, and I'm sure, Vaughn, you agree with when I say this, you know, we have to encourage our youth to even to understand just their basic rights as citizens. You know, it's so many of our youth, they can't even tell you who the mayor of their city is. A lot of them can't even tell you who the governor of their state is. And don't ask for no senators or congressmen. Go ahead.
Some of them can't even tell you what they did last week in school. So let me go back to Brother Jason, I believe it was. He talked about economic empowerment. He talked about giving them a job. Listen, we can't arrest our way out of this problem. Give it a little bit more information on me. I'm a presidential management fellow, as I stated before. I've had the pleasure of working with the White House for over a year. And one of those duties, I work on the ground in Memphis with recidivism and some of the things that Brother Jason talked about. And there's it's the forum to reduce youth violence, the national forum to reduce youth violence. And one of the things that's very key is nothing stop a bullet like a job.
Yes.
If you want these kids to stop shooting, then employ them. These kids want responsibility.
Yes.
And we, in order to help get that, we're going to have to do this thing several fold. And Brother Jason, we'll talk offline, and I'll definitely offer some technical support in what I've learned. You know, we have to get involved. And this is all part about getting them back, because their policies on the local level
that's preventing us from doing these things. Let's just be honest. Some people, it's profitable right now. The stock ticker, I believe, is CCA. Prisons are privatized right now. You want to look at the stock ticker of CCA. The name of the company actually eludes me right now. But it's profitable right now to lock our kids up. It's not just about voting. It's not just about praying, folks. Rosa Parks was saved on the back of the bus. Our grandparents were saved being lynched. We got to get in. We not just pray, but we have to participate. And Curtis, you are right. There are some that have been infected. There's some of our kids that have been affected and infected. And so we have to get involved. That's the other part to this thing of taking our kids back. They have to see us as adults. When we talk about taking responsibility of our community, well, the other part of that responsibility is what black folks always run from, which is politics. Politics decides how much money going in education, in housing, in jobs. It affects our lives, and we constantly run from it. Get down to your city council meeting and just sit there. You may not be educated on what they're talking about, but if you keep going down there, you will get educated.
Yes, sir.
Let's get involved. It's not just about voting. So it's about joining the Urban League. You have the NAACP. You have organizations, advocacy organizations. And, again, showing your face up at those meetings. Let them get nervous when they start talking about how they're divvying up your tax dollars. Because everybody get excited when a presidential campaign happens, but they don't understand your city council and mayor and your governor touch your tax dollars way before the president even get it. So that part goes into this about taking our kids back and get involved, because when we have young men like Jason who want to set up organizations, we need to not only show up at his meeting, we need for him to be able to go down to City Hall and say, look, I have X number of people in my community that support me, and we need to be behind him showing those numbers before he's taken serious. That's the truth of the matter. And that is the systematic part of it. Because when we talk about the issues that we have in our community, we have, first we have the household issue. Our youth are, I believe, the sum of the difference between the relationship of the mother and the father. And that's those dynamics. We have a spiritual issue when we talked about the church.
Right.
Kind of ties into the community part. We don't have a sense of community no more. Our community and the block parties and all of that, we don't have a sense of community. We have a bunch of individual houses on a block. The other part of that is a systematic way, and that's what Jason is targeting. And so I commend Jason on targeting that area. We need ministers to target the church area, and we need people to come at it from a policy standpoint. And let's understand what took down Mike Brown and the cop not seeing any charges, and the issue in Ferguson as well as Trayvon Martin. It's policies. It's the politics of it. Those things we've been dodging. They made rules and laws, and we weren't in the room, and we're affected by it more than anybody else. So that's part of that process. To help empower Brother Jason and give him the support that he needs with that.
You know, Vaughn, you touched on something real key, because, you know, through this radio, I mean, and as Brother Tyrone alluded to earlier, this radio broadcast as well as the TV broadcast has really blessed me tremendously in the aspect that I'm able to give back. You know, this year actually will be the third year that I've been able to put on the Something for the Fellas Unity Day pre-Father's Day celebration. And I chose Father's Day because, you know, I mean, we all love and revere and adore our mothers as well we should, because, I mean, it's rightfully so. But for so oftentimes there are real fathers out there like us that are often overlooked. So I came up with that concept just to say, hey, you dads that are out there doing it, good job. You know, we need to let fathers know that you are doing a good job. And then it's like where I've, and Tyrone is a witness, I've been to the mayor of Decatur, Don Kyle. He knows me personally. here recently they were having the gubernatorial elections in the state of Alabama. I invited Governor Bentley personally. I got his personal cell phone number. Invited him to my Father's Day event last year. Oh, he promised that he would attend and he would be there. Did he show up? No. Did I expect him to? Not really. But I had just in this last year's gubernatorial race, another candidate, Parker Griffin. He was running on the Democratic ticket. I was at every rally, and you know, it's real key, Vaughn, that you said that, because when they see me, a lot of times, and it's funny, it's really comical to me, because they be like, oh my God, here comes Curtis. We know he gonna have something to say, and I want you to feel that way. I want you to feel that way, that when you see me coming, you say, oh, Lord, here comes Curtis, y'all. He's going to have some. You're right. Not only am I coming, but I'm not coming to be quiet. I'm not coming to just sit here and listen to you dictate this, that, and the other. Even though I may not be able to make a whole big difference with just my voice, but can't nobody stop me from letting my voice be heard. So this radio show and the TV version has been a blessing in that aspect, where I'm able to be visible. I'm able to be seen. These kids, they know I have so many kids that have my personal cell phone number. It's pathetic. They know they can call me. They have called me. I have been down to the schoolhouse and everything when I had the opportunity to coach my own flag football team, were in trouble and things of that nature. So, as you said, we definitely got to be involved. But not only do we got to be involved, we have to be vocal with our involvement. We can't just be there and be quiet, in my opinion. Showing up is fine, but showing up and being quiet, you might as well not show up at all.
You're right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So it was, Vaughn, when you said that, you definitely touched on something that's very near and dear to me. And even if it takes, because, you know, we have a running joke. Matter of fact, it's the last election when they had some of the voting signs and everything. A real good friend of mine, Emmett Goode. Ty, you may remember this. I'm talking about Bo. You were cutting Bo's hair in the shop, and I walked in. I had just left the mayor's office that very day, because when I walked in, I still had on my shirt and tie. When I walked in Ty's barbershop to get my hair cut, but people, they exposed to seeing me like that all the time anyway. But the first thing that came out of Bo's mouth was like, oh, man, Curtis, I was expecting to see a sign with your name on it running for something. Me and my daddy, they're business owners as well. Me and my daddy, we was ready to put some money behind you. But I say that to say this, not to glorify myself or any manner, but it's good to know that people are willing to back people up that they see is sincere about what they're doing.
Yes, sir.
Yes, that's right.
Yes, sir. We need that.
So we definitely got to be committed. And as Vaughn, you mentioned earlier, when you talked about the Trayvons and the Michael Browns and the Fergusons and the things of that nature, we can't want to hold up a banner when it's something going on as it's going on, and then because it's hot right now is what's going on. If we're gonna stand behind something, we can't drop that banner. We have to uphold that flag and continue to wave that banner until some type of difference is made or some type of change has been implemented. We can't just do it because it's the it thing or the end thing at that moment.
We have a lot of social media movements going on with every situation, with the Trayvon thing. Listen, no disrespect to anybody, but if you left your house with a hoodie, you pass by the corner where you know Ray Ray and Razor Blade and Mookie at, to go downtown, protest for Trayvon Martin, you a coward. How dare you? You in a whole other state. The perpetrator been arrested. You downtown with a hoodie, but you know who's shooting on your block, but you ain't saying nothing about that one. Oh, but Zimmerman got to go to hell. You a coward.
Exactly.
Same thing with Ferguson.
Exactly.
You posting pictures of Wire Style Hip Hop and all kind of fights and carrying on. But yet, you talking about Black Lives Matter. When did Black Lives start mattering? And if
exactly.
it matters, then you should be raising the black life you brought into this world. If it matters, then you should be respecting the ones that bring forth black life. Come on, son. If we going to do this, let's do this. But yeah, I'm tired of the social media fads and movements of the blackout this and blackout that. If we gonna do this, let's do this. But again, we talking about a change in culture. And I heard someone, I believe it was Brother Jason, we talked about what happened to the wheel, you know, and then Brother Tyrone also said we start something and then if we don't finish it. You know, all of that, again, goes to the culture and the mindset. We have to change the means by which we measure a man. And Curtis, you mentioned it when you talked about your Father Day event. That's a beautiful thing because if you do a search biblically, look up the word father or Abba, it's mentioned nearly four times as much as it is the word mother. Because that tells you how much responsibility God gave us when he put us here. Four times as much, fellas. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Police your brothers to get on their business if they not.
Go ahead, brother. Now, you have something?
Yes, sir. I just stand with what the brother talking about right there. I think for me, you know, personally in my life, I had to redefine what success meant for me, you know. So, I mean, and that's a reality that many of us have to face, you know, and this is what I tell, you know. So, I mean, just because of decisions that our young brothers have made, even the sisters now, young sisters, you know, they're increasingly, you know, more and more getting involved with this legal system. You know, we got to help them see, man, that even if you done made bad choices in your past, you still can add success. Because I think success is just simply adding value to your life. You know? And we can do that by with the ways working together, brother. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm ready to move forward.
Yes, we can.
I'm ready.
We can do that, and as I mentioned before, and Curtis can tell you, we won't go into details, but when I tell you I was at the bottom of the barrel, I was underneath the barrel. When you talk about a second chance, and if anyone's listening who has a child or knows someone, or maybe a teenager is listening that made that wrong decision, listen, right. As long as you wake up, and you inhaling and exhaling, and you have that grace and mercy, you can start again. And I'm a testament of that. I mentioned earlier in the introduction, I say I didn't do 25 to life. I faced 25 to life. It was five felonies. I'd been arrested a couple of times. And no way in the world would you have told me or anyone who knew me then that I would have the honor and privilege of saying that I played basketball twice, once as an employee and the other one as a guest on the White House off lawn. There's no way you can tell me that I'm working on and heading up a White House initiative. There's no way you can tell me that I'm running a campaign for congressmen or at the table with CEOs or talking to the governors of state. There's no way you could have told me that then. So if you know of a child who has that situation or looking to turn it around, the power of the mind is great. All you have to do is want it. That's it. Listen, people run around talking about you know better, you'll do better. No, man, you got to want better, and then you'll do better.
You got to want better, and then you'll do better.
Knowing better is not going to do anything. You have to want it. And when you want it bad enough, you'll get it.
Outstanding words, because as Vaughn said, going back 21 years, Tyrone, he knows my testimony, he knows my story. We've confided in each other, and I speak about this to all the mentoring groups when I've had opportunity to speak before so many youth groups, and I tell them all because they see me, they see, okay, Mr. Taylor, he's clean cut, he's retired from the Army. He has his own radio show. He has his own TV show. He's a member of the Masonic Lodge here locally. He does this. He does that in the community. But I, too, was that. And matter of fact, if I'm not mistaken, Vaughn can attest to the fact. That's Vaughn's old nickname. We called each other. I was T-Bone and he was Prince back in our younger days when we were soldiers. And one night And what I learned real quick, we were as we both said in the introduction, we were both stationed at Fort Riley, Kansas. And not only were we soldiers, and I tell everybody, when I was in the Army at that time, from 6 o'clock in the morning till 5 o'clock in the afternoon, I was probably one of the best soldiers you will ever come across, in my opinion. But at 5:01, when that flag dropped, and I was able to get in my vehicle and leave Fort Riley, the post, and go into Junction City, Kansas, which was the city outside the post, oh, I was the biggest thug you would ever want to see. And just one night, just to tell my and I love sharing it, one night in the club, I'll never forget, it was a Thursday night, which they call 40-ounce Thursdays, where they didn't sell no drinks in the club except for 40-ounce beers. And at that time, myself and Ms. Vaughn and several others, we all hung out. It would be nothing for us to drink four, five, six 40s and still stand. It was nothing. But make a long story short, a fight broke out in the club. Okay, the fight breaks out in the club. It leads to outside the club in the street. Okay, the fight is in the street. A couple of guys, a group of guys from St. Louis, Missouri, they run to their car, went got their pistols, start firing at me and a group of my guys that was with me. Myself, my first cousin, they called him Big T-Bone. His name is Greg Taylor. We ran to my truck, to my Cherokee, and we got our pistols. Came right back instead of going, getting in the truck and leaving the scene. That wasn't good enough for us. We had to let them know, you're not going to handle us like that. I ended up shooting two of them. They, at that time, I didn't know that Kansas did not recognize the self-defense law. They tried to give me 64 years on two counts of second-degree attempted murder. 24 years on each count. Okay. Now, mind you, I'm still a soldier stationed at Fort Riley, Kansas. The Army, their hands were tied until the state of Kansas determined what they were going to do to me. Now, if I'd have got convicted and sentenced, I wouldn't have got a dishonorable discharge. I'd have got a general discharge under less than honorable conditions, which is pretty much basically a dishonorable discharge. Let's just call it what it is. But it wouldn't have been worded that way. But I made a promise to myself when I sat in that cell and they would not give me a bond because they said even though I was in the Army and a soldier, I was still a flight risk. So they would not give me a bond. I sat in Geary County Jail in Junction City, Kansas, for 7.5 months until my paid-for lawyer, because they were not going to give me a public pretender, which they call a public defender. They were not going to give me that. I paid out of my pocket $6,000 and hired a lawyer who was the former district attorney for Geary County, but at one point in his life, he had a drug problem. So he ended up losing that job. But who better to hire to get you off than someone whose job it was to send you away forever? Hmm. So with that being said, and that's just a brief part of my testimony, I went from that to finish a 20-year career in the Army, retire from the Army, and among other different aspects of my life to where I'm at today. So that I can definitely relate to what you were saying, Brother Joseph, to what Vaughn is saying, because a lot of the stuff that Vaughn alluded to, he and I did together. Or if we didn't do it together, I knew about him doing it, or I was around in that time frame when it was taking place. So regardless of all of us that have made that wrong turn at whatever point in our life, but the fact remains that we were come back from that wrong turn and still able to have made a positive difference, or in the process of making a positive difference. So I say that to say this, it's never too late as far as that goes. And all of this, you know, this is really divinity to me right here, this radio broadcast, because all of this, this whole broadcast is really coming full circle. It's allowing us, all four of us, myself, Brother Tyrone, Vaughn, yourself, Brother Joseph, to bring into our passes and to what we're currently doing, and it all correlates to reclaiming our youth.
Yes, sir.
Because in the title it says reclaiming our youth, the fight is on. But, and as Vaughn alluded to earlier, don't join the fight if you're not going to stay with the fight. Go ahead.
Because I think that one thing that's being neglected, okay, to be addressed as we reclaim our youth, is that often they have been victims of violence before becoming perpetrators of violence.
Right.
And so, and I say that because that happened in my life, you see, because I was raised in a family where if you got in a fight, you get a whooping. So, you know what I mean? So we didn't fight, you know. But when we moved from the South to the North, you know, the culture changed. So, I mean, so going through that period of bullying and all of that, you know, and I'm like, wait a minute, you know, hold up. And as I get, I'm growing, I'm like, wait a minute. I ain't finna get whooped in the street and whooped at home too, so something gotta change. You know? So once I made that in my mind, so I'm saying that's something we gotta take in consideration when we're dealing with our young brothers and sisters, is that a lot of them have come from backgrounds where they have been victims and, you know, haven't been given access to adequate health care. You know, mental health is an issue in our communities, but we don't want to acknowledge it because of the stigma.
Preach.
Oh, yeah, that's another broadcast that I'm going to do right there, but oh, my God, we're going to touch on that, most definitely.
Right, and especially, you know, we're talking about, you know, the brothers and sisters that's coming from prison back into the community. You can't tell me that if you've been locked up for, you know, 5 years or more, that you're not suffering from some type of mental issue, you know. So let's not be afraid, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, just to correlate on what you just said, for those of us, I just want to say this, and I've come across brothers that have done time. A real good friend of ours that Vaughn and I knew actually got convicted of killing another guy that was a friend of ours. Now, no need to go into the details of the killing or whatever, but he ended up taking a young man's life, whether it was intentional or accidental or whatever the case may be. The fact remains that he did X amount of years. And you're so right when you said when you do a certain amount of time and you come out, and that one form of that mental illness that I know of is that they become institutionalized. And that is, becoming institutionalized is a form of a mental deficit to where you're locked away for so long that you lose sight of things that you were accustomed to when you had your freedom. But that's going to be another show too. Man, listen here, guys. This hour and a half, I should have did 2 hours tonight. Oh, my goodness. But check this. This is what I'm going to do. hold on 1 second. And I'm going to apologize right now. I had 8 people that came into the chat room. From the bottom of my heart, apologize. I can tell that they didn't go away. They listening to the entire broadcast, so it was something that was being brought forth that implored them to stick with the broadcast. I apologize to you guys for not getting to your comments. This broadcast and this discussion got so deep. I hope you can forgive me for it. From the bottom of my heart, I appreciate you guys supporting, and I promise I will try my best not to allow that to happen again. But again, we got about 5 minutes left while we're live on the air. What I want to do is, oh, man, this broadcast is I got to admit, fellas, I've had some great, 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 great broadcasts in my 3 years of doing this radio show as well as the TV version. And I got to say that this broadcast right here is definitely in the top 3 of all the broadcasts I've done. And I have well over 28,000 listeners that have listened to my show in the 3 years that I've been on the air. So I just want to thank all of you gentlemen. I want to thank Vaughn Thomas. I want to thank Brother Joseph King. I want to thank Brother Tyrone Taylor. And what I want to do is start with Brother Ty. I want you to go first, and then I want Brother Joseph King to go second, and Vaughn, I want you to go third, and I'll do cleanup duty. Is give us some parting words. I just want to say right now that I've enjoyed this broadcast tremendously, and I just know for certain that out of all the listeners that were tuned in tonight, that somebody was able to take away a lot of great information from tonight's broadcast. So if you would, Brother Ty, give some closing words, and then Brother Joseph King, and then Vaughn. If you would, go ahead, Brother Ty.
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank God for the ones that's on air with us tonight, all y'all brothers. I pray to God strengthen y'all and give y'all what y'all heart desire in helping for this change for you. Because I see now it's going to take brothers like us to start something, and not just start something, but finish something. One of the great men once said, Martin Luther King, he said, sometimes it's not the individual himself that completes the task, but it's the people that's around that individual that help the task be successful. So we all got to come together on this thing. You know, like the old saying said, take a village sometime to raise our children. It takes people like us to help raise our kids. Like I said, not just our kids, but other kids. So I just thank God for y'all. I pray to God keep us communication with one another, you know. Don't give up, because change is about to come for all of us, and it's going to be on a in a positive way.
Thank you, Brother Ty. Brother Joseph King, if you would.
Yes, sir. First of all, Brother Curtis, I'd like to thank you for inviting me and the other brothers as well. It's been a pleasure, you know, an enlightening experience. And I can't leave without saying, you know, to my partner, Brother Mike Jackson, you know, that is, you know, I give that brother, you know, a lot of props, because he is the one that suggested that you and I, Brother Curtis, get in touch with each other, you know.
Exactly.
I like, you can go to my website, which is greeninc.wix.com/UII/ORG, okay, and you can see it's still in the development stage, but you can get a more in-depth look at what we're striving to accomplish. Thank you.
Outstanding. Now, hey, man, I'm glad to have you, and I'm going to go ahead and extend the open invitation. Whenever you feel the inclination to come on board and be on the broadcast, feel free to do so.
Yes, thank you.
And last but not least, my great friend, my brother of 21 years, none other than my featured guest himself, Mr. LaVaughn Thomas, if you would, sir.
It's been a pleasure and an honor, and I thank God for his grace and mercy and the opportunity to sit and chat in a very positive building manner with the brothers on the panel, and definitely an opportunity with you, Curtis. You know, it's beautiful when you can rebuild with someone that you help, that you were destructive with. You don't always get that opportunity, and so definitely an honor to have that. And to our listeners, again, I apologize as well if we happen to miss any comments. And Curtis, I definitely like if they have the opportunity, there is a way, a means, a medium to continue this via Facebook or whatever social media outlet you have, and maybe we can continue that with comments that way, and that way their voice is still being heard and we can address it there. To the listeners, I say I have to go back to the number one thing. I am a minister, and I can tell you the number one thing in my closing remarks, you don't remember anything else, is pain management. Pain management. Learn how to deal with that pain. And as Brother Tyrone mentioned it about the drama and the trauma that these kids face, post-traumatic stress disorder is not just with veterans coming back from a war. Again, post-traumatic stress disorder is not just for veterans coming back from war. And so we have to learn how to deal and manage with our pain in a way that's not destructive for others. I love you guys. And if anyone want to get with me, Brother Curtis know how to do that. And definitely to Brother Jason, you and I will connect at some point to help you with your organization. Thank you.
Yes.
Real quick, guys, I love you all. And let's always remember, we got to make our youth a priority and not an afterthought. Thank you for supporting. Let's get it. Enough said.